All right.
Recording has begun.
In his absence, I will call the meeting to order at 3:43. And approval of the agenda, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
I will second. All those in favor? Aye. Okay, so that is unanimously passed. Is there any public comment? Is there any member of the public that would like to speak on an item? Hearing none, I will move on to the next item, approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of October 13th?
So moved.
I will second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, moving on to the next item, number five, CEO report. I will turn it over to our CEO.
Thank you. Nothing to report, Madam President.
Very good. Thank you. We will move on to item number six, the CAO's report, LPMP leasing update. Chris?
Okay. So we just finished our audit, so we do have that completed. We have been in the process of doing the public bidding for the landscape project at the Medical Plaza. And we will be presenting the results of that public bid at this meeting. And you can see the LPMP leasing update, pretty much the same. We have, I think it's three available suites. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to get new tenants during this COVID time. So I think we're grateful to be able to be maintaining the status that we have.
Chris, what's opening day on the bids?
It's already open. We're actually presenting the results today.
I'm sorry. Do we have? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the second bid took place on the 4th last week.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
That'll be later on the agenda. Is there anything else, Chris, that you want to present on
the results? Okay. That's it for now.
Very good. We will move on to item number eight, financial reports, and I will turn it over to Chris again.
We can walk through the financials. There's any questions that anybody has on any of the documents. We can just kind of go through them. So we have the financial statements themselves, the income statement, balance sheet. We have accounts receivable. We'll just kind of keep going through them. If you have questions when we get to certain documents.
I want to just make a comment to our newest board member, Carmina. I hope that that we're going to go through this really quickly because I don't think that there was very much in here for my comments. And now I'll portion it over to Arthur. But I don't want you to think that we're rushing through this. You will have an opportunity to meet with Conrado and Chris to have more of a detail. And if you have an interest in serving on this committee, then by all means, you can express that at our future meeting. But I don't have any questions on any of this, but I will ask Arthur, the way Mark usually does this, is that we just ask if we can break it down in sections and if there's any questions on any of the sections. So, Arthur, do you have any questions?
I don't have any. I took a quick look at the budgets at the detail, and I don't have any questions, but I really want to be on record. It's not easy to get a clean report from the auditors year after year after year. It's just not that easy to do. And we need to recognize that in the minutes that our organization is doing extremely well in that regard. And Chris, you need to take a bow. I want to just make sure. It doesn't happen by accident. It's all too easy to end up with a page of notes and whatever. And it's just not happening. And I'm seeing it time and time again. And I just want the record to reflect that at least I represent the collective on the board in this respect. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Director Shore. And, you know, there's credit that goes to others in the organization as well. Eric has come on in March, right at the beginning of this COVID experience. Literally, we were training and working through initial learning curve processes over the phone and via Zoom, et cetera. So, a credit to the you know, the cleanliness of the financial statements and the audit detail and all the support that was provided and everybody that was involved, I think it makes us all look good on up to the CEO and the board of directors. So thank you.
I'm willing to amend it in that context. Thanks again, Chris.
Yes. Thank you, Chris. And thank you, Eric and Conrado and everyone. Okay, so we'll start off with the financial statements. Is there any questions on pages 9 to 19, Arthur? Director Shore?
No, thank you.
And I think for Carmina's purpose, you know, looking at page 11 of the packet is a pretty good summary to see, you know, from an income statement standpoint that if you look at the far right three columns, our budget is projecting that we would be a net income, which is the next to the last column, of a profit of $14,000. We're currently $867,000 of net income. So things are in good order.
The accounts receivable aging summary, page 20. Is there any questions on this?
No, I just want to go back on it and just ask a generic question about the income stream. Are we suffering from the slow pay of other people in a big way, Chris?
Actually not. I mean, we had that issue with some of the suites, some of the tenants that we did the deferred rent on, and all of those tenants are now in process of making that deferred payment. So they're current, and everything is looking in good order at present.
Okay, the minus 400,000 more 56 is just all timing, basically.
What page are you looking? Sorry.
12 line 4501. No, 40, right below 4501. The totals for the total income. You show him upside down minus 456. And you have a 504. The total income is down.
That just shows that we're under what was projected, and most of that is coming from line 999, unrealized gain. So we're actually experiencing some loss, unrecognized loss on those investments.
Due to the market
condition and that. So yeah.
So it's coming from the investments. I see it now. Okay, thank you.
So accounts receivable, we just touched on that. Are there any questions on the accounts receivable, page 20, Director Shore?
No, thank you.
I have no questions. The deposits, page 21?
No.
Okay, I have no questions. Property tax receipts, page 22?
So interesting to note here is that the payments are probably a little more delayed than they have been by maybe a month or so. However, we're experiencing still a little bit of increase over last year. So
when does the county make its decision about its allocation to us? In what month relative to our budget?
Well, you can see in that budget column under 20 and 21, or you can also see the actuals from the prior year. Those are the months and et cetera when we receive the monies. And the bulk of the funds come from, when they fall in line with our regular tax, property tax payments. So in December and April is kind of when you see the heavier chunks. So December, January, and then May, June.
Are people in the community lagging behind, if you know, and just in terms of,
I don't know the answer to that. All I can tell, and we'll know probably more when we receive the December payments and that.
All right, let me ask you a hypothetical question. Let's assume receipts are down 10% that impact us by, let's say, 10%. Is that, does that have a material impact on our day-to-day operations, let's say, for, let's just say, looking forward for the subsequent 6 months?
Well, if you recall, when we did our annual budget, I think we budgeted a decrease from our actual, from the prior year. I think we used the figure of 8%.
Okay, so you kind of anticipated it, basically.
Yeah. So we have, I think we have good conservative budget. I think at least from what I'm hearing from real estate agents that I've spoken with, that the real estate prices may even increase because there's such a demand out here in the desert from buyers coming out from the LA area, other metropolitan areas that are essentially with the virus, where more people are being able to work remotely. They're buying properties that are a couple of hours away from the large metropolitan areas.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
So the next is Las Palmas Medical Center, deposits 2324.
No questions.
District check register, pages 25 to 26.
Yeah, they're fine. I have no
questions. I think we covered these pretty good, that now things are starting to be routine, Director Shore.
Yeah.
The next is credit card detail of expenditures, page 27.
I'm good.
By the way, I think Director Shore should be the next chair of the committee.
You missed our conversation.
Easy for you.
I was having trouble getting logged in, so I missed it. I'm sorry.
He's going to be on the November agenda for that, to make that happen.
I want you to know I will be requiring a dress code for this.
I'm hoping dressing down.
I'll ring up my tie.
Okay, there you go.
And Chris, stop me if I'm going too fast, okay? I'm just following Mark's lead on this, but...
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay, so we then check register, page 28.
That's fine.
And retirement protection plan update, page 29. This one we like to spend a little bit of time on.
But yeah, just a note here that we have paid out two additional vested employees. So you see that number went down from 62 to 60. So our total number of participants remaining is 163. I still keep thinking that people are going to be retiring and leaving employment at the hospital, but they just keep going. So
that's so surprising.
Did they take lump sum or did they take an annuity?
They either take lump sum or they roll over to, it's a lump sum. They either take it in a distribution or roll it over to an IRA account.
Okay. So as far as we're concerned, it's a lump sum.
Correct.
Okay.
Very good. Any questions on that, Director Shore?
No, ma'am.
And regarding annuities, we only have the 7 annuitants, and they are all of higher age. So those will not be there for a lot of years.
And we have next is our grant payment schedule on page 30. I was, when I looked at this earlier, I was curious about One Future. Where is One Future? How's that grant coming along? There's outstanding, that number caught my attention.
The 306?
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2-year grant, so it's allocated over a couple of years.
Okay, that makes sense.
So we're a little over a year into it, so.
Is that the same case with Fine Food Bank?
That's a 1-year grant, but it was just awarded in March.
Mm-hmm. That's so being drawn down, fine.
Yeah, so there's I'm not sure if that one's set up on quarterly draws or not.
Okay. Any questions, Director Shore?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Is there any public comment on financial reports? I forgot to ask that before, but no. Is there a motion to approve the financial reports?
So moved.
I will second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, moving on to other matters, the LPMP landscape renovation and fire alarm electrical bid. I will turn it over to Chris.
Okay, so as you're aware, in October, we brought to the committee the information that we'd had our initial first round of public bidding. We had an issue where one of the low bid contractor was considered non-compliant, so had to reject that bid. We came to the committee requesting options. The request from staff was to go out to a rebid process, which we did. We were able to turn that around quickly, get a public bid opening on November 4th. We did have, if you were to look at page 33, we have the bid tabulation there that shows the four bidders. Three of those contractors are the same contractors from the original bid. It's still interesting that Three Peaks, $996,000, they were $1.2 million previously. And you can see quite a gap there, but we do have three bidders that were right in that mid 500,000 range, and Marina Landscape is the considered low bidder, and everything is good. It's qualified bid. So at this point, the staff would like to recommend approval and forwarding to the board for full approval to have the landscape bid approved.
Question. So, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The alternate bids are for additional work on the site, or?
What that is, and it's actually a deductive bid or a deductive alternate. There are the tall date palm trees that are at the entrance of the facility. We had an alternate in there if we chose not to do those, but
that's a credit.
Yeah, so it would be a negative amount if we chose not to do that. So at this point, all of the work is 100% included in the base bid. And as time has passed, those trees, they're old. We had one actually blow over a couple of months ago across the entrance. Fortunately, it was on a weekend. So there was no damage, no injuries. But the reality is we do need to remove those trees and would like to get moving on that as quickly as possible.
Can I suggest to put these in brackets so that when it goes to the board meeting, anybody looking at it will see it as a negative instead of...
That's fine.
Imposing on you to describe it.
Absolutely.
Do we have a history with Marina in any way?
No, we do not. This is really the first big landscape project we've had there in several, well, many, many years. So I'm not sure who did the original work. But.
Is there a due diligence component to what we need to do once we have the bids, or do we accept the bids on their face?
I mean, there's a little bit of qualifying work with it, but also part of it is Marina is a reputable landscape contractor. They do have, you know, a good history of work that they've completed.
Okay, thank you. All right.
And they have to provide bonding and that sort of thing as well. So
thank you.
So
and just so you know too, Chris Mills, who is the architect, he will also be serving as project manager with this, so he's very good. He's a long time familiar with the facility there, so it'll be ensured that it's completed properly. And also remember, we have the component of the fire alarm electrical work that's being done at the same time.
So between Marina and Fast Track Construction, the bids are kind of close when you take into account the alternate. So you feel comfortable and Marina is the responsible bidder and that can cover, and you're recommending that one?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
And Arthur, you have a sense of who this company is. They are doing the landscaping for the new stadium in Inglewood, the new football stadium.
Oh, so they're rooting for the wrong team. That's okay.
That's a pretty big,
beginning. I
pretty
would have
big
said
job.
Thank you.
This job's probably small for them.
Yeah, and we did budget for this amount for in our budget, Chris?
It's a little higher than our budget. We were around $400,000, but at the last committee meeting, we staff did communicate that we were looking at probably $450,000 to $550,000.
So we're even going to go a little bit higher than that, but you're going to take that from where?
Good. Well, it's all going to be capitalized on the balance sheet, so it will not hit our income statement. Yeah. So it will not affect our net income.
Very good. Any other questions, Director Shore?
Other than to Conrado, the only thing we cannot do is we cannot make a site visit on a Sunday. It has to be on some other day to keep our skirts clean. Thank you. No, I move that I move the agenda. We accept this bid as recommended by our Chief Financial Officer, Chief Operating Officer.
And I'll second. Is there any public comment? Hearing no public comment, I've called for the vote. All those in favor?
Yes.
Aye. It passes. So we'll recommend approval of that. The next item is district and RPP investment reports to Keith. Turn it over to Keith or to Chris first. I don't know who wants to take it from
me. Yeah,
I'll take it away, Keith.
Yep. So if we can, you can hear me okay, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. All right, let's start on page 61, if you would. I know that's in there a ways. I'm going to start with the fixed income.
Chief, by any chance, do you have it open? If you have it on your computer, we can give you access and you
not.
Can do it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's calling from an office.
So yeah. Is it page 61 office. Of our packet or 61 of yours?
61 of yours.
Perfect. There we go. Okay.
Yep. All right. So first thing I want to say on the fixed income portfolio, I have some really good news. I haven't even had a chance to share this with Chris because I just got it approved today. But, you know, you guys have been a great client for a long time. And given the ridiculously low interest rate environment and, you know, the unusual circumstances that we find ourselves in with the Fed just basically taking rates to zero, we all met as a firm and proactively decided to reduce the fee on this portfolio by 50% to 10 basis points. And we're really just doing this proactively because we think it's the right thing to do for you, the client. And basically the way they're going to run it is they're going to look at this every 6 months and just reevaluate it every 6 months. Certainly, I'd rather be charging you 20 basis points and having you get a 2% yield than charging you 10 and getting a 40 basis point yield. But, you know, we just want to basically, you know, we understand that it's just a tough environment for short-term treasury fixed income. So just
Thank
wanted
you.
To say that now.
Appreciate
it. Yep. And Chris, I'll follow up with you with some paperwork on that.
Okay.
So looking at this, you can see the portfolio is, of course, it's a short-term liquidity portfolio, 100% fixed income. Currently about 13% is in cash. That's just due to bond maturities. And I was holding off on reinvesting the cash because looking for some yield curve steepening. It's actually finally starting to happen. And so I'll probably start looking to buy some bonds, hopefully. And I'm not sure exactly where on the yield curve it's steepened yet. But generally speaking, we got a little back up in the 10-year to 95 basis points. So hopefully that means we can get some relief on the shorter end as well. I think let's go to page, go two more down. I'm sorry, I didn't write down the page number. Okay, so this one, real quick, the year-to-date return is 3.2% for the portfolio. If you'll flip one more page, it has the more information on the fixed income returns. So here we see it's flat for the three-month period. 1 year, which would be September over September, the portfolio is up 3%. And 3 year period, 2.3%. But, you know, I would just caution you that that is not sustainable. That's just because bond prices have gone up as the rates have crashed. And, you know, like we're really looking at a much more bleak outlook for returns. Probably realistically, we might expect no return for a little while because bond yields could back up in here. And if we can go to one page backwards, one more page backwards, sorry. Yeah, there we go. So you can see here, the duration of the portfolio in 2018 was 2.3 years. It's now down to 1.4 years. So that's just, you know, the aging of the portfolio, the natural aging of the portfolio. And also just the fact that reinvestment has not been really a great environment for extending duration. The yield to maturity has fallen from 2.8% down to 23 basis points. Hence the, you know, my point at the, you know, that the future, we need rates to rise basically. So that kind of pushed us to say, hey, we need to really think about lowering the fee on this account. So that's all I have on that. It is, you know, it is in all treasuries and, you know, managed to the guidelines of the prospectus. If we can now go to, unless there's questions on that.
I have a question. Is the plan to let the aging approach zero before you start reinvesting, or are you going to start moving strategically if and when there's a market move?
Yeah, my basically, you know, there's no yield on short-term treasuries at the, you know, or there hasn't been for a while. So the idea is now that we're finally getting, you know, some backup in yields, maybe we can get some yield out of it.
Okay, so you're not going to let this thing just, you're going to look at it dynamically based on what the market tells you to do.
Always doing that, yes.
Yeah,
yep. It's just a tough environment. That's all, you know, and you know, the mandate of the portfolio is really safety first and return second. So,
right.
You know,
right.
You know, we're kind of just stuck with what we've got, but that, you know, that also is how come we met and decided to reduce the fee because right. It's just really tough environment. So, all right, if we could go to, if there's no more questions, maybe we can go to page 46 and look at the retirement plan. Great. All right. So that's the asset allocation page. The objective is basically a balanced objective, you know, targeting about 60% stocks, 40% fixed income and other. As you can see, at the end of September, it was 61% stocks, 35% fixed income and cash and a little bit in alternatives. Actually, the alternative strategies being used are basically fixed income. If you will turn to page 51, we'll skip to performance. So here we can see the portfolio for the 1 year, that would be September over September, up about 5.85%. Long-term, kind of compounding at about 6.5%, you know, sort of in that 5 and 10 year period. So, you know, returns are pretty good. It's been a quirky year, to say the least. And just, you know, if I had, I don't have in here, but if you looked at, for example, the spread between growth and value is 25%. So growth stocks outperforming value stocks by 25%. And that was, that's partially why right now we're seeing a rotation in terms of people rotating out of growth and into value. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. If you flip back one more page, that's got the year-to-date return on it. So you can see up 5.5% so far this year. I also did an estimate between September and November. The portfolio is up another 4%. So it's having a good year, actually. And, you know, happy about that. But, you know, it's another issue of bond yields are very low. And, you know, realistically, it's hard to make a case for getting excited about that. So, you know, that's why we have a modest overweight to equities at the moment. Let's see, what else might we say in here? If we go back to page 48. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so here's the fixed income portfolio. As I was saying, duration has declined slowly over time. From 2018, it was 7.6 years. It's now 6.6 years. That's partially a maturing of the portfolio and partially a strategic out decision because rates were just too low. Then you can also see yield to maturity on the portfolio is falling as well. That's just, you know, the reinvestment is not as good as the older rates. So, you know, the whole world needs rates to be higher. And of course, for rates to be higher, we need to have a more robust economy. You know, I can talk a little bit about the economy right now. If there are no questions on anything else in here, I mean, if some of those other pages we could look at, but realistically, like the sector weight page, I'm not even going to include that anymore because it's just actually not accurate. So our system didn't pick up the sector weights correctly.
I have a point of information. Can you? Yep. Because I'm looking at this on my screen. I'm looking at page you're 48.
Yep.
The quality allocation market by market value, which one of the sectors, because I'm having physical trouble seeing it, are not rated? What's the percentage of not rated instruments?
Let's see. I'm having trouble seeing it too. I don't see the bottom of the page. I'm looking at the screen. Oh, there we go. Okay. I believe that's going to be the 3.5% number, and not rated doesn't necessarily mean it's
that's what I want to know. What's the definition of not rated?
Well, so this is actually only S&P or Moody's. I don't remember which, but I think it's S&P. And so it could be rated by Moody's, but our system doesn't pick that up. So yeah, it's a high. I will tell you, it's a generally high credit quality bond portfolio. And in fact, we don't even own any junk bond funds at the moment. So the credit quality is high in the portfolio, and it's allowed us to really not feel that volatility in fixed income markets back in March.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, just thinking about the economy for a minute. So obviously it's a really weird world, as evidenced by the fact that we're all right here. And you guys know COVID as well as anybody. You're running a hospital. You know, we have a stock market that's now at all-time highs, and yet, you know, still have 11 million people out of work. And there's a mismatch there, of course. We have sort of a K-shaped recovery where higher end white collar jobs are going home and continuing to work. And the essential workers are really struggling, restaurants, small businesses, things like that are more meet the public. Those are all struggling and lots of unemployment there. So there's a, you know, real effort to try to fix that. And but the stock market is a discounting mechanism, and it's got a wall of liquidity from the Fed. The Fed basically, you know, if you think about the 2008-2009 financial crisis, it did two things that actually helped in this crisis, as painful as that was. It improved the banking system by lowering their leverage, making them hold more capital and greater reserves against future loan losses, and also gave the Fed the tools for quantitative easing. And boy, did the Fed ever use it. And, you know, in 3 months, they did 10 years worth of quantitative easing. So, you know, we have the Fed creating a wall of liquidity, and Congress basically giving stimulus checks to people who lost their jobs to really no fault of their own, to try and keep them from becoming homeless, and sort of give everyone a bridge, the economy a bridge, and homes a bridge to get past this virus, this pandemic. And we had good news on that front. Pfizer announced yesterday that they have their vaccine had 90% efficacy, and I think the other ones are going to be equally good. There's been a lot of thought that, you know, there's a lot of progress on how we treat the disease. We don't just throw everybody on a ventilator anymore. And of course, vaccines are in sight. And so probably people will start getting vaccinated at some point next year. I think Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and AstraZeneca will all have effective vaccines against the virus as well. So that kind of leaves us with a, what are the risks? Well, I think the biggest risk right now is the election drama. So not sure how that's going to play out exactly, but you know, typically when a president loses an election, he's pretty gracious about moving out. And, some people were concerned, President Trump is kind of fighting that. And that's, you know, not a necessarily a political statement. That's just, looking at the facts, that it appears the votes are not there. Even, when Al Gore and Bush fought over the hanging chads in 2000 in Florida, you know, it was a 537 vote spread in the entire state of Florida. So, yeah, that's worth a recount. But when you're talking 100,000 or 20,000, that would imply systemic voter fraud, which, equals a lot of jail time for breaking federal laws. And I just don't believe that's going to go anywhere. So. The election is over. It's just recognizing it. Then, of course, the other thing is like what happens with future stimulus. Part of the reason the economy or the stock market jumped when Biden got elected is because obviously the Democrats are going to pass a bigger stimulus plan. So we're going to have a wall of liquidity. We're going to have a vaccine coming, and we're going to have a ton of fiscal stimulus coming, and all of that stuff augurs for a real potentially strong recovery, and the Fed has vowed to basically hold rates down and, until they start to see average higher inflation, and Fed's pretty good at getting what it wants. And so there's, more likelihood that we could be reinflating the economy, and it could be quite aggressive coming into sometime next year. So that's about all I have. But, I'm glad with the returns and, glad that we could lower the fee on the fixed income portfolio.
So with the short term election drama going on, we're really not looking at beyond January or let's say early February. So are you then thinking that our portfolio stays the same for the next 6 months? Or are you thinking that there's something that is shorter term than that of having to evaluate how things come out in the spring rather than later in the year?
Yeah, so I think, my feeling is if this, this is going nowhere, and it's just a matter of, recognizing it and basically finishing the deal. So I am not concerned. If we had a lot of states that were under 1,000 votes, then it would be, hey, this could do, anything could happen, right? But when you're talking about 20,000, 100,000, that's that kind of miscount is not there. It's never been there. And the systems in place for counting votes is really quite rigorous. So, I have no concerns about an eventual transfer of power and what the outcome is. And I think, just looking past this, if the stock market tanked for some reason, something weird happened, but we still think that the outcome is inevitable, that would probably be an opportunity more than anything else. But I don't think it's going to matter. So I think the market has voted already.
Very good. Thank you. Any other comments or questions, Director Shore?
I just, just to throw 2 cents into the equation, the market, in my understanding, is a forward looking futurist instrument. And from my experience, they're 6 to 8 months ahead of the curve, barring hiccups from, you know, events that happen. And I interpret what's going on as they're looking towards the actual numbers reflecting the recovery in terms of people going back to work and GDP, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I happen to agree with Keith completely that a trick is to keep one's gunpowder dry and just ride through the short-term rainstorm, because the sun will come out tomorrow.
Thank you. Only thing that I was questioning was what you just described, our short term and environmental issues, but the reality is that we're going to have a change of administration. And so those are policy issues that for the next 2-3 years, we're going to be, under those policies. So that's what I was curious about, is whether there was going to be anything that we need to be aware of, or that you're thinking of keeping an eye on for the policy
issues. I hear you. I think, Biden and his administration is pretty, the moderates won. So, there's going to be a lot of talk about this and that, but at the moment, anyway, the Senate is still in the Republican control, and we'll see what happens with the Georgia runoff elections. But even if they won both of those seats, it's still going to be pretty tight. And, you're going to need to have everyone on board. And when the price tag comes up for some of that stuff, and just because you're a Democrat doesn't mean you're going to be on board. So, and in terms of, tax law changes, that's got to get through Congress too. And no matter what, I think tax rates need to go up, because we got a lot of debt now. But, taxes are only going to affect the highest income earners, and probably corporate America will see a little higher income tax because they got more of a break than they actually anticipated anyway. But it's a moderate administration. I don't really see it being, we're not headed down a straight up Green New Deal. Healthcare for everybody is free. College is free. That whole agenda is not going anywhere.
Okay. Thank you, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Conrado.
All right, guys. Any other questions, Keith?
Appreciate it.
Yep, it's nice to talk to everybody, and we'll be in touch with you, Chris, on the paperwork. Okay.
Great. Thank you for the consideration.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Before we adjourn, I just wanted to ask for a future agenda item. Conrado, are we going to have that agenda item that came up in our workshop for our next meeting, or?
Yes, it will be at our next meeting.
Okay.
And that will be the program-related investment.
Yes. Okay, very good. Is there any questions, Director Shore?
No.
Okay, then I will adjourn the meeting at 4:25, and moving on to the foundation meeting. I will call the meeting to order at 4:26. And approval of the agenda, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I will second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Next, we have public comment. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak on an agenda item? Or an item that's not on the agenda? No? None? We will move on to the next item, approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the October 13th meeting minutes?
So moved.
I will second. Is there any questions? No, then I will call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I will as well. It passes unanimously. Next, we will move to the CEO report. Our CEO.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Oh, you're brief today. Okay. We'll move on to the next item, financial report. I'll turn it over to our CAO.
Well, we'll do the same thing here. So we'll work through the financials. Is there any questions on page 4 through 8 as we move through page Page 5 is the income statement. Page 6 and 7 are the balance sheet. And any allocations on page 8. Moving on, we have the deposits on page 9. Check register, page 10. Credit card, page 11. Then we have grant payment schedule on page 12. In the income statement, we're showing a positive net income there for year to date. So we're doing fine there, and it's really going to be helpful with the work that Conrado has done with getting this additional resources that will help not only for grantees with this COVID-19 collaborative, Riverside County funds, but also some overhead dollars to assist with the work that we're doing in that regard.
Speaking of the initiatives, that reminds me, it may not be under this topic, but Conrado, you might want to talk to Donna about the Inland Empire Funders Alliance. And I know that you would have to become a member of the group, but there's potential investors that might be interested in supporting the Black initiatives that we have.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And
any other questions?
And Director Shore, do you have any questions?
No, ma'am.
Is there any comments from the public? Hearing none, then I will call for a motion to the motion on this item.
So moved.
I will second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
It passes. Is there any other comments from our CEO or CAO?
I have a general question off the agenda under other matters. In our last workshop relative to housing, I came away from that meeting understanding that the subject's going to be discussed in multiple committees. Us, for example, on the Finance Committee, the Grants Committee, the Strategic Planning Committee. I just don't know, Conrado, how do you envision it all coming together? Let's assume each of the committees has discussed it and each of the committees has recommendations. How do you see this coming together to a unitary position?
So there's a number of policy decisions we have to make. The first one is whether this is the right type of programmatic investment we want to make. And I believe that will be a discussion with the Strategic Planning Committee. It will also involve the Program Committee. And I think that the answer to that question is yes. I believe that we have enough evidence, enough knowledge and support that housing is a significant social determinant of health. And this is one of the most difficult or most challenging situations we have in Coachella Valley, where we have, as we all know, a population that has everything and a population that has nothing. So this might be very important. And also on the strategic plan, from a strategic planning perspective, is going to position the district in a way that we can integrate healthcare services into affordable housing, which is one of the national recommendations when it comes to affordable housing. It's not just making an investment on affordable housing, it's how do you provide supportive investment in that area. And communities that have those two elements of affordable housing and case management, behavioral health support, physical health access, all those things together reduce the cost of care and improve the health outcome. So that's on the strategic side. On the financial side, I believe the conversation will be what is the amount that we can commit to. And my idea is that we will be discussing what we have available in our current budget, and also what amount we could commit in a program-related investment. And a program-related investment is a mechanism through which we allocate funds into an investment fund that will return with no interest to the district. So it's, in essence, money that we put in an account, give it to somebody that will be investing in affordable housing. It's a social capital type of investment. We will not get any money in return. What we will get is the capital return of seeing a population that will have access to affordable housing, and we will get the money back. So in essence, we're not losing, at least not much, because the money will come back and we will continue to hold those assets and reinvest in the future. But at the same time, we are providing a significant support to our community to meet.
I'm going to have to call the stop here because we're getting into the subject matter that is not on the agenda.
Right. That wasn't my question. Thank you, Lady. That wasn't my question. Let me rephrase my question. The committees have all done the elements you just described.
We're going to start in December.
Yeah, okay. Now let's assume, for the sake of my question, let's assume the committees have each reached a conclusion. My question to you was, now you have three committees with three conclusions, each on a component of the process. How do we coalesce this into a unitary position? That was my question.
So we package that on...
This is a mechanical question. Do we meet in executive session to iron out the details? Do we do it in a public forum, in a district meeting? I'm just asking about the mechanics of how we get to the position that we ultimately vote on as a board.
So we will present it at the board meeting.
At a board meeting. So yeah. we'll debate this at a board meeting then.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's what
I think it assumes that all three committees come to the same conclusion.
No, that doesn't assume that. That's the whole point.
But I know, but that's why I say that. And I think if there's, in my opinion, if there's contention in differing committees, it may require a separate work study session.
That's exactly what I was anticipating, Chris, because the probabilities of the three committees coming together with in perfect alignment, I think is a low bet. I wouldn't want to take that bet. And therefore, if there's dissension or different perspectives, I think we have to have a mechanism to iron out and develop a consensus opinion before we debate this thing in public. That's exactly what my point. That was the purpose of my question.
And I'm sure different recommendations will come together as one, and you take all those recommendations, and like you say, you look at them, you may take the program committee's recommendation, the F&A committee's recommendation, and put those all together, possibly into one package for one whole recommendation and vote
right.
The board.
Exactly. Conrado, the purpose of my question was really almost rhetorical to get you to think about the process, because I don't have an answer. I only have a question.
Yes.
Okay. I just want you to reflect on the dynamics so that when we do take a public stance, we do it with dignity.
As we are going into the committees, my understanding is that the board gave by consensus direction to the staff to explore this with the possibility of coming out with a way to support it. However, that may not be the case after the discussion and the debate within the committees. That's when the committees really have to iron out those differences or the questions. And with this committee next month, since we also cover the legal aspects of it, I would like I think that, that we would have to include our attorney to discuss the legal aspects that were brought up at our workshop to ensure that that angle, that even though we trusted the CEO and our legal counsel to talk it out, but we do have this committee, so that would be the opportunity that you would share whatever thoughts and concerns or issues with us at that time.
Agreed. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else on a different topic that just for general interest? Okay, very good. Then I will adjourn the meeting at 4:37. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good night, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks.